Stephen Charleston, who's a Native American of the Choctaw Nation and a retired Episcopal bishop, has said, "You do not have to move mountains to see the strength of love at work in your life. Sometimes it is enough just to move yourself, to step sideways to understand how the world looks to another person, to step back from judgment, to step forward to embrace a person in need, to step up to faith when justice calls your name, to step down from the pedestal privilege provides, to step away from what you know is wrong, to step into the light when the shadows grow too close. Miracles," he says, "are not always an act of God. Sometimes they are a choice of the human heart." The reading this morning is from the book Braving the Wilderness, subtitled The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone by Brené Brown. "The world feels high, lonesome, and heartbroken to me right now," she says. "We've sorted ourselves into factions based on our politics and ideology. We've turned away from one another and toward blame and rage. We're lonely and untethered and scared, so damn scared. But rather than coming together and sharing our experiences through song and story, we're screaming at one another from further and further away. Rather than dancing and praying together, we're running from each other. Rather than pitching wild and innovative new ideas that could potentially change everything, we're staying quiet and small in our bunkers and loud in our echo chambers. When I look through the 200,000 plus pieces of data my team and I have collected over the past several years, I can only conclude that our world is in a collective spiritual crisis. Spirituality is recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than all of us, and that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. Right now, we are neither recognizing nor celebrating our inextricable connection. We are divided from others in almost every area of our lives. We're not showing up with one another in a way that acknowledges our connection. Cynicism and distrust have a stranglehold on our hearts. And rather than continuing to move forward toward a vision of shared power among people, we're witnessing a backslide to a vision of power that is key to the autocrat's power over people. Addressing this crisis will require a tremendous amount of courage. For the moment, most of us are either making the choice to protect ourselves from conflict, discomfort, vulnerability by staying quiet, or picking sides, and in the process, slowly and paradoxically adopting behavior, the behavior of the people we are fighting. Either way, the choices we're making to protect our beliefs and ourselves are leaving us disconnected, afraid, and lonely. Very few people are working on connection outside of the lines drawn by their side. Finding love and true belonging in our shared humanity is going to take tremendous resolution. Do you remember a time in your life when you felt like you didn't belong? Anyone? Anyone? Show of hands. Right? Right, we've all had experiences like that. Or times when we've wondered where we belong. I can think of many, as many of you as well seemingly can. One that comes to mind is, it involved the transition from my elementary school years, where I had one tightly knitted group of friends with whom I did everything, to middle school, where I was tracked with totally different people and ended up spending my time with them. And I remember after a couple of years of not knowing which group of friends I really felt most comfortable with and where I belonged, I remember going to high school and still wondering what group was mine and trying to figure out how to fit into each one. Brené Brown begins her book, Braving the Wilderness, by talking about her own longing to belong as a child. She grew up in Texas in a community where, although the schools were desegregated, black people and white people still lived very segregated lives. She says she never really felt comfortable with the other white families when her family moved to this town. But although her best friend was an African-American girl, she also never felt totally comfortable with her family or with the other black families in town. She also talks about growing up as an Episcopalian in an area that was mostly practicing Catholic. And by the time she got to high school, she says she wanted more than anything to belong and thought at the time that what that meant would be joining the school drill team. And she went and she got her hopes up and she signed up for the audition and she tried out. But she didn't get chosen because she didn't dress like or look like or use makeup like or put her hair up in fancy hairstyles like so many of the other girls in that town who got those roles. Those early years, that feeling of persistent non-belonging shaped her, she says, and she's been wrestling with what it means to belong ever since. The yearning to belong is hardwired in us. It's primal. Belonging, she says, is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and by seeking approval. But true belonging and merely fitting in, as you may know, are two completely different experiences. Belonging, she says, is being accepted for who you are. Fitting in is being accepted for being like everyone else, right? If I get to be me in a group, then I belong. If I have to be like you to fit in, then I'm just fitting in. Intuitively, I think we know the difference, and we may have felt the difference ourselves. Merely fitting in can be a very lonely experience. Brené Brown says that at one point in her search for what it means to really belong, she came across a quotation by Maya Angelou, who was one of her heroes, something that Maya Angelou had said during an interview back in the early 1970s on Bill Moyers' show. She said, "You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. No place at all. The price is high, the reward is great." Now, at first, when she heard them, Brown raged against those words. "What do you mean true freedom is about belonging no place?" she said. "That's ridiculous. We all want to belong somewhere. We need to belong. It's so key to the human experience." And then she says that after she calmed down, she set about a years-long quest to try to figure out what Maya Angelou had been talking about. And eventually, many years later, and after a conversation with Angelou herself, she came to understand what Maya Angelou meant when she said, "You are only free when you belong no place. You belong every place, no place at all." Belonging no place means belonging to yourself. Belonging every place means belonging to something far greater, to the universe itself, per se. Maya belongs to Maya. Brené belongs to Brené. You belong to you. I belong to myself. And so from there, Brené Brown came up with a definition of what she calls true belonging. "True belonging," she says, "is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in both being a part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging, unlike fitting in, doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are." But it also involves, in Brown's words, recognizing and celebrating that we are all inextricably connected to each other by a power greater than all of us, however you define it, and that our connection to that power and to one another is grounded in love and compassion. According to Brown, belonging to ourselves means being called to stand alone. And that's ableist language, I acknowledge. That's the language that she used. Being called to be there, to be solid, to brave being alone in the wilderness of uncertainty and vulnerability and criticism. It's much easier to be there in that place alone, to belong to ourselves, if we also feel that larger connection to humanity. That sense of belonging to something greater can give us more freedom to express our individuality without fear of jeopardizing our sense of belonging. The problem is, as she discovered while trying to write a book about belonging, is that our current social and political context is so divided, so polarized, that it can make true belonging even more challenging than it already was. These days it can feel especially hard to find the courage to be oneself or to share one's opinions. The world, says Brown, feels more like an ideological combat zone. If we dare to open our mouths and try to engage with people, we risk being criticized, not merely for our ideas, but for who and what we are. If we speak out, we risk being othered or demonized. More and more, we're being othered even when we don't speak out. And I want to name that some of us are feeling this for the first time, and others of us have felt it all along. It can have the effect not only of keeping us from speaking up, but also keeping us from showing up. Over and over in her research, says Brown, participants talked about their concern that the only thing that binds us together now is shared fear and disdain, not common humanity and shared trust or respect or love. They reported feeling more afraid to disagree or debate with friends, colleagues, and family because of a lack of civility and tolerance. Reluctant to choose between being loyal to a group or being loyal to themselves, but lacking a deeper spiritual connection to shared humanity, they were far more aware of the pressure to fit in and conform. Connection to a larger humanity gives people more freedom to express their individuality without fear, but this is the spirit which now seems missing. The spirit of saying, yes, we are different in many ways, but under it all, we are connected. Can we find our way back to ourselves and to each other, she asks, and still keep fighting for what we believe? And she answers no and yes. No, not everyone will be able to do both, simply because some people will continue to believe that fighting for what they need means denying the humanity of other people. That makes connecting outside of our bunkers impossible. I do believe, however, she says, that most of us can build common connection across difference and fight for our beliefs if we're willing to listen and lean in to vulnerability. Mercifully, she says, it will take only a critical mass of people who believe in finding love and connection across difference to change everything. We have to find our way back to one another, she says, or fear will win. So how do we find our way back to one another in the midst of this ideological combat zone? She offers four suggestions, which I'm going to share with you, but I'm not going to describe them all. She says, one, people are hard to hate close up, so move in. Two, she says, speak truth to BS. Be civil. Three, she says, hold hands with strangers. And finally, she says, strong back, soft front, wild heart. I highly recommend this book to you if you have a chance to read it and are interested, but I want to talk to you this morning very briefly about the first two. People are hard to hate close up, move in, and speak truth to BS, be civil. People are hard to hate, close up, move in. If we stay zoomed out and distant, we hear a lot of messages. We hear that, for instance, Republicans are all selfless jerks, or Democrats are all losers. We hear messages like that all the time. But if we zoom in, where we actually engage in relationships with real people, we see that people are real people with real life concerns. We all love our kids. We want the best for them. We experience joy. We grieve our dead. We experience pain. We suffer. So zoom in, she says. In order to do that, we have to practice being both curious and generous in our assumptions about why people are the people they are and why they believe the things they believe. We talked about this morning at the earlier service. We have to move in to get past our own stereotypes and biases. We've talked about some of this before in this congregation, about how to have difficult conversations by being curious, by inquiring, by asking questions. But it's a good reminder when you find yourself generalizing about any group of people, about pro-lifers or gun owners or police officers or conservative evangelical Christians, remind yourself to move in, practice curiosity, be generous in your assumptions. And, as she says, speak truth to BS, be civil. Speaking truth to BS is really about having, recognizing, and setting limits. It's about what's okay and what's not okay. Yes, you want to be curious and you want to be generous and you want to move closer and find out more. And yes, we want to support people's rights to free speech. But it's also important to recognize that a difference of opinion is one thing. Dehumanization of another person is entirely another. When people use their free speech rights to dehumanize others, we need to speak truth to BS and be civil. What is dehumanization? Dehumanization is a process, the psychological process of demonizing the enemy, making them seem less human, less than human, and hence not worthy of humane treatment. Dehumanizing often starts with creating an enemy image. If we take sides, lose trust, and get angrier and angrier, we not only solidify an idea of our enemy, but also start to lose our ability to listen, to communicate, to practice even a modicum of empathy. Once we see people as being on the other side of a conflict, once we see them as morally inferior or even dangerous, the conflict starts getting framed in our heads as good versus evil. Dehumanization, she says, has fueled innumerable acts of violence, human rights violations, war crimes, genocides. It made slavery and torture and human trafficking possible. We're seeing more and more of this, my friends. We're seeing it all the time on the news. And it's frightening, and the examples of it are countless. And we must not tolerate it. As Karl Popper once wrote, a political philosopher, he said, if we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. We must not tolerate the dehumanization of other people, and we must not perpetuate it ourselves. As Brené Brown says, we are all vulnerable to the slow and insidious practices of dehumanizing, and therefore we are all responsible for recognizing it and stopping it. She gives a number of examples, one of which is this. When the President of the United States calls women dogs, we should all get chills down our spine, and resistance should flow in our veins. When people call the President of the United States a pig, we should reject that language, regardless of our politics, and demand discourse that does not make anyone subhuman. That's what it means to speak truth to BS. and we also need to be civil. Civility, of course, is claiming and caring for one's own identity and needs and beliefs without degrading someone else in the process. It's disagreeing without disrespecting. And we all need to practice that. Our anxiety is getting ramped up, and it's tempting to fall into challenging patterns of dehumanization and incivility, but we have to resist that. Brené Brown writes that in the face of all of this, in the face of everything that's going on, much of our work now is more a matter of rehumanizing. And I feel like that's especially true of people who practice liberal religion, including Unitarian Universalists. So much of the dehumanization that we see around us seems to be coming from conservative evangelical Christian religious leaders in particular. And our religious, liberal religious voice is so needed right now more than ever to help to counter it, to talk about belonging, to talk about how we all belong to one another, to talk about how we are all inextricably connected to each other, to always be lifting up human dignity and the worth of every single person, even those people who would dehumanize us, to keep engaging with people who believe differently, to keep challenging those who dehumanize us and other people, to try to find our way back to one another. For as Brown says, we have to find our way back to one another, or fear will win. Now, with faith in the creative powers of life, with hope for the future of life in this world, with love for all others who share this life with us, and with the commitment to include everyone, let us go forward together in peace and return again in peace. Amen.